appreciate that. How many have to be here tonight?
Amen.
Amen. It's real good to be a Christian. It's been a little bit of a struggle today for me, but I thank the Lord for the victory.
Amen.
And it was cold. It was bitterly cold. And but you know what? We're doing okay. Amen. So let's go to the Lord in the scriptures in Revelation chapter 19, verses 7 through 8. Revelations 19, verses 7 through 8. And I want to speak to you on a thought tonight, identified by evening light. Identified by evening light. And she'll have these on the multimedia. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. Let's go to word of prayer. Father, we love you. We thank you for this opportunity to be together tonight. I ask you that the thought that you've given me would just flow freely through the service, Lord. And Lord, that you just help me just be your lips of clay tonight. We yield ourselves to you. Touch every hearer of the word tonight, Lord, that they can fall on deep, fertile ground, Lord. Bring forth your intended purpose. In Jesus' name. God bless you. You can be seated. I just wanted to open up with a quote here also. He says, notice God promised that he would bring his bride out, and he would what he would do. There would be a seed. There would be a light in the evening time. How he would do all these things just exactly by the way that he originally planned it in the Old Testament and the New Testament. And it isn't through denomination. It isn't through our system we're using today. We're just causing death. Let people put their hands with it and die from it, see? The word, the evening message, must carry evening results. Evening message must sow evening seed, not morning seed. Evening seed. Is that right? The midday scene, its seed back there was denomination. It died, perished. The evening time message will show evening time light, will show evening time results, and evening time message. Jesus' time midday message showed midday results. The beginning message showed beginning results, made creation. He made his son in his own image in the midday. In the evening time, he makes a bride for it. See, by what? By his word. How did he form the earth? How did he speak it to existence? By his word. And who is his son? The word. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and was made flesh and dwelt among us. How will he take his bride? By the word. Yeah. Not by a new car, not by some theologian's idea, but according to his word, he'll identify her. Don't put one thing to it or take one thing from it. Leave it the way it is, see? One of the most beautiful things that there is in this life to me is a calling. You know, and man, when he chooses a wife, he chooses carefully, and you know, he doesn't want to just take a woman and give her his name and just give his seed to just any woman. So there's a lot of thought put into that and choosing of a bride and choosing of a wife. A man's going to look for a woman that's character, because this woman is going to reflect his name of who he is.
Right.
And to see what man is made of, you can look at his wife, to see the choosing of his wife. We know the prophets taught us that. A wife is to bear the image of the husband. And you know something about a carpenter, the characteristics of a carpenter is reflected through his workmanship. You know, a welder, a plumber, a stonemason, if you want to see what what they are made of, their workmanship reflects who they are and how they conduct their business. And you know, if you look at the creation of the world, that speaks of the craftsmanship of God. God created it with craftsmanship. Don't you think he did? You know, there's beautiful mountains, there's hills, there's ponds, there's perch, there's all kinds of different birds. They've got bumblebees, everything. It's all craftsmanship, so precise, where to the point to where people say it's impossible. Hummingbirds, it should be impossible for him to fly backwards, but he does it.
Right.
You know how? Because God's craftsmanship. You know?
Right.
And if God can do that with creation of the world, how much more can he do his bride? You know,
right.
How much more can he do you and I? Can have his craftsmanship on our life? Let's go to just one scripture in Genesis 1:11. It says that God said, let the earth bring forth grass and herb yielding seed and the fruit tree yielding fruit after its kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth, and it was so. So every seed has a nature, it has a characteristic about it, and there is a calling from that seed from the inside out, and maybe perhaps that seed doesn't even know what that calling is, but it knows it feels a pull.
Right.
Ain't that something? Imagine a little seed that looks nothing like it's supposed to be, but he don't even know what he's supposed to be, but he feels a pull. You know, that's a lot like young people too. You'll feel that same thing inside yourself. You feel a pull to be something, but you don't even know what you're called to be. But you feel a pull.
Right.
You know, kind of like Abraham Lincoln, Benjamin Franklin had the cock, you know, pulling on him. He didn't know about what he had, but he felt a pull.
Right.
Well, that's a lot of times the way a seed is. A seed feels a pull inside of their heart. That's the way believers down the ages have felt a pull in their heart. Maybe they didn't know exactly why or what the pull was, but it was a pull. Amen.
Right.
You know, that's the way God works. The deep call to the deep. Each seed can only bear what it is, and it takes a particular season of light to manifest each seed. So if you give too strong of a light too early, you'll just kill the seed, you'll kill the plant, and it'll never bear what it's intended to bear. But yet at the same time, a plant that doesn't have the right light, the most powerful enough light, it will never manifest what it's called to do. So if you got too strong or too early of a light, it will kill the plant. It can't produce it. But then at the same time, as time goes on, if you don't make it strong enough, it's not going to bear what it needs to. So it's a timing. God is so precise in his craftsmanship. God's so precise in his timing. That's the way it is with the earth. That's the way it is with the gospel.
Right.
So if God was to give the full-fledged just gospel right out front, the church wouldn't be able to stand it. They weren't built for it. They weren't ready for it. So God, little by little by little, down the ages, has begun to dispensate himself through revelation, unveiling himself to his church. And by his grace, that's what he's doing. It's a light that's been coming down little by little by little by little. God manifesting his light upon the earth, not just on creation of like trees and things, but man, a soul. God calling a soul to maturity. Aren't you thankful for that?
Amen.
His light crossed our path one day at one moment. Maybe we walked to that all the time. We never felt it. But all of a sudden, one time, we felt that quickening on the inside. And from that time on, we couldn't walk like we used to walk. You know, Brother Bram talked about the Dear John, how the man that went from that time on, something bad happened and he went down a downward slope. Well, for a son or daughter of God, thankfully by his grace, from that day on, we start walking a different slope. We start walking higher. You know, and it was because that light come to manifest, that seed come to manifest, our name become manifest because we heard the call. Isaiah 53:1, it says, "Who had believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed?" The Lord will only reveal his word to those that believe it. Do you believe that?
Amen.
Why would God reveal his word to somebody that don't believe it?
Right.
God's purpose. God is so mindful, just as we are. You know, whenever he kicked the, I hate to say the word kick, but I guess there's no other word to say it. When he kicked Adam and Eve out of the Garden of Eden, what did he put on the east side of the cherubim? He put a cherubim on the east side of the garden to keep the way of life. Because he would not allow them to come into that fellowship with him and that with sin in their life. They just couldn't do it. So God protected man from himself. And you see, because God will not allow just sin and unbelief to come into his presence. There is a process that God's got, and it's redemption. It is God's redemption. God made a way for them to come back to that fellowship. But you got to remember, Adam and Eve had a fellowship with God that was like no other. A lip to ear, God could speak to them. But after the fall in the garden, when God put them out of the Garden of Eden, that fellowship was broken, and he put the cherubim there to keep them from freely just walking back. And the reason God does that is because he does not want you to stay a filthy, dirty sinner. I'm going to say it as dirty as I can. A filthy, dirty sinner, and then just taking the Word of God unveiled and be able to feed on it. God does not, he will not allow that. See, that's why we must be born again. When we're born again, there's a new nature inside of you, and God will unveil himself to that nature that God changed you into.
Right.
Ain't that wonderful?
Yes.
What's he reveal to himself?
Right.
Who's our teacher? God. Who's our attorney? God. Who's our judge? God. Devil ain't got much of a chance, does he? You know, the devil can say, they're guilty. Our attorney says they're innocent. The judge says they're innocent. How would you like to go against that court case?
Right.
That's really how it is. We are sons and daughters of God, and he is the judge. He's our attorney. He is our tutor.
Right.
He is our comforter. He's our healer.
Amen.
Yeah. How can anything come against us? Amen. We're more than conquerors. Amen. So God would not allow them to enter into fellowship in that sinful state. So except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And not everyone is permitted to see the unveiled word.
Right.
And let's go to Ephesians chapter 1, verses 7 through 10. In whom we have redemption through his blood, forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure which he had purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. So God has been through the ages, and Brother Tony's the one that I will never forget it, brother, and I'll never be able to thank you enough for it, for breaking that scripture down for me years ago of what I've heard of about dispensation of fullness of times, because he made it just as simple as I know how to make it simple. How many of you have your own bathroom? How many of you ever see a soap dispenser? And what do you do to get soap out of that? You just push that. And it's a certain amount of soap that comes out of your hand. And that's exactly how God's done down the ages, as done through the dispensation of the fullness of times. God has been dispensing himself a little here, a little there, a little here, a little there. Ain't that wonderful? So simple. But that's exactly what God has been doing. That is the mystery of his will, was down through the dispensation of the fullness of times, that God would gather in one by him dispensing himself into a people. He's actually dispensing himself inside those people, and then he's gathering those people together that he's dispensated himself into.
Right.
And one. Ain't that wonderful? That's what God's doing with you and I. That's what God's been doing through down seven churches. That's what God's always been doing, is dispensating himself for a purpose to gather us all in one. Amen. What is it? Redemption.
Amen.
So in the Old Testament, each person had an opportunity of a measure of the light, and it was up to them on what they did with that light. So Moses, Jacob, Isaac, Abraham, so on and so forth. All down through the ages, people had a dispensation of the light, but there was also other groups of people that heard the same word, the same light, but what they did with their light would determine their faith. And then at the cross, when Jesus was on the cross, he went to preach into the innermost parts of the earth. He preached to two different groups of people. He preached to one group of people that turned the light down. They turned whatever measure of light it was given to them, they turned it down during their day. But here come Jesus. Jesus was the fulfillment of that light. All the, down the ages, those were little bitty pieces of light. But if you took all those bundles of pieces of light of this dispensations of God and put them all together and put them on a block and you stacked them up, if you could do that, it would build Jesus.
Right.
And that's what Jesus was. So during at the cross, Jesus went down into the uttermost parts of the earth, and he went to those, and they that turned down that their dispensation, their opportunity to the light, that was a judgment to them.
Right.
And they can never go free because they turned down what they had. That was their opportunity. That was truth. And they had a choice. You can accept it or you can reject it. Jesus will not rape a single person. He will not do that. He will not force himself on anybody else. He is a gentleman. He will woo himself. He is a dove.
Right.
And that's why his character of his people is, because we have his character.
Right.
So he would not force this word, say, you better take this. He will not do that. He'll present the word, and you have the free moral agent. We are God's free moral agent. And we can do what we want. So it's by foreknowledge. God knows the decision that every person is going to make.
Amen.
Amen. So it's not that he chooses, I want this one, I don't want that one. I don't want this one, I want this one. It's not that. God, by foreknowledge, knows the decision that each person will make.
Right.
Amen. Amen. So he preached to some that rejected the word, and he redeemed the ones that accepted it. I just want to read another quote here. He says, I'm going to drop a little something in here. Now, if anybody gets these tapes, I love this quote. Listen to these words to it. To me, it's just profound. Any man can speak whatever he wants to. He has a right to anything of his conviction. But you know, if a minister doesn't want this amongst his people, then tell him not to take it. But this is amongst the people that I have been sent to speak to. Therefore, I must reveal what is truth. Now, the Lamb, in the time of intercessory back there, he knew that there were names in there that was put in there from the foundation of the world. And as long as them names have never been manifested on the earth as yet, he had to stay there as intercessor. Do you get it? Perfectly predestination, see.
All right.
He had to stay there because he came to die for those that had ordained to eternal life. See? By his foreknowledge,
he saw them,
not by his own will. His will was that none should perish. But by his foreknowledge, he knew who would and would not. Therefore, as long as there was one name that had never been declared in earth, Christ had to stay there as intercessor to take care of that name. But as soon as that final name had been splashed in that Clorox or bleach, then his intercessory days are over. Let him that's filthy be filthy still. Let him that's holy be holy still. And he leaves the sanctuary, and then it becomes a judgment seat. Woe unto those outside of Christ then. And
that's from the first seal.
I love that. He stays there for that name. That's you and me. You know, I remember when I first started seeing this message, I was like, oh my gosh, the rapture's probably already took place. Oh my gosh, what about me? You know, I was born too late. I wasn't living for the Lord, all these things. And I remember I come across it. He says, he stays there for that name. I was like, that's me.
Amen.
That means Christ stayed on intercessory until I got right. Because y'all ain't leaving without me. Amen?
Amen.
If there's one person going into rapture in this room, it's me. And you guys got to have that same confidence in yourself. If there's anybody else going here, it's me. Amen.
Amen.
I was joking with Brother Tony one time. I said, Brother, I'm going to give you these keys. He said, oh, no, you ain't either. You know, Brother Ben talking about, because you don't give the keys to the preacher. You know, because you're going to the rapture, the preacher's not. But Brother Tony knows, he knows I love him, and he knows I was just teasing with him. But we got to have that confidence that he is interceding for my name.
Amen.
Until I come manifest. Amen. Because that's what the light is doing. It's identifying me. I'm the bride. Amen.
Amen.
You got to say that for yourself. Let's go to Matthew chapter 11, verses 25 through 26. It says, at that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemeth good in thy sight. So there's some people that will, the same word, but God will actually hide it for some, but he'll reveal it to others. Why? Because these would not believe it, and these would.
Right.
If you believe the word, God revealed it to you. If you don't believe it, why would he reveal it to you?
Right.
If you're not going to believe it. And we must be born again to be able to see the kingdom of God. So we can't expect to live a simple life and then expect God to unveil his word to us. It's not going to work that way.
Right.
But whenever we come his way, he'll reveal himself to us. Let's go to St. John chapter 15, verses 16 through 20. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you. Ain't that wonderful? Ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, and whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. These things I command you, that you love one another. If the world hate you, and you know that it hated me before it hated you, if you were of the world would love his own. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word that I said unto you. The servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. So the bride will replicate exactly what Jesus was.
Right.
The bride and Jesus, if you look at the lives that they live, it's the same. They rejected Jesus, they'll reject the bride. Because if they accepted the words of Jesus, they'll accept your words because you're one and the same. Amen?
Right.
So that's why the people that we fellowship with, the people we talk to, the people we hang around, if we are walking this word, they will want the word also. If we're not, they'll reject us.
Right.
In the same sense, if we are walking with the world, somebody that believes, they won't want to receive us. Because you see what I'm talking about. Because if they receive Jesus, they'll receive you.
Right.
If they reject Jesus, they'll reject you.
Yeah.
And it's the same sense on this world. If the people want to be around us, but they don't want to be in the Lord, they don't want to be in service, they don't want to do that, we need to be careful. There's a boundary there. There's something there. What are they attracted to?
Right.
Amen. Because we know we got to be nice to everybody. This guy right here will never receive the kingdom of God. This right here is your worst enemy you'll ever have. And we're going to have friends in this life. Now remember, make sure that we are identifying ourselves with this word.
Right.
Because, the power of influence is so powerful.
Right.
You can have the power of influence, and it's caused more people to fall and slide down a slope by the power of influence and peer pressure.
Right.
And that goes, there's good peer pressure. There's bad peer pressure.
Right.
There's good influence, there's bad influence. So make sure we're being the good influence. Amen.
Amen.
Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. And I, brethren, when I came unto you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring in you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. And this is something I want to try to just kind of finalize on in this service tonight. I don't want to keep you too late. No, you may be probably tired tonight. He said, I didn't come with you with great wisdom, with smart words and things like this. He said, I didn't come you in that, because if you just have that, that's all you have. It's just wisdom and smart words. I mean, and it can be good things of smart words. But it's not just wisdom and smart words of enticing words I come. He said, but I come in you in the power of the Holy Ghost. Because you know what? If you're just talking with good words and good feelings, they do feel good. Do you agree with that?
Right.
Everybody loves a good pat on the back. Everybody loves good feelings. But sometimes you don't need just a pat on the back. Sometimes I need help. I need to get out of this circumstance that I'm in. I need God. I need you to deliver me from what I'm going through.
Right.
You know, like if you're in prison and I go to visit you in prison and you've got your shackles on and you've got your chains on and you're sitting there, and I come in there and I've got some chain spray, what do you say, WD-40, some cleaner, maybe a couple pictures. And I come to visit you in your prison and I say, hey, let's clean those chains up. Let's make those look nice. We polish the chains up. Oh, your cell looks real nice now. But you're sitting in your cell.
Right.
And I leave. But your chains are clean. You got the cleanest chains in the whole prison. But you're still in prison. And I can bring some pictures. Bring pictures in there and hang these pictures on the wall. You got clean chains. You got pictures on the wall. And I feel good because I've been this visitation. But then whenever they leave, I'm still in prison.
Right.
Nothing's changed. And brother, sister, that's what enticing words can do and good feelings can do. It can make you feel good, but it does not deliver you.
Right.
And that's what Paul said. I've come in the power and the demonstration of the Holy Ghost. I'm saying you can be free. You can, by his stripes, you are healed.
Right.
You don't have to sympathize with that devil. By his stripes, you are healed. You can take him at his word and you're free. As we're talking about the pardon, I heard it. It's interesting you said that about that tonight, because I heard the other day where somebody asked President Trump, if Biden pardons you over the walk-in thing that happened, will you receive the pardon? I thought, ain't that something? They're talking about receiving. They got right there. They know you have to receive a pardon in order for it to be a pardon.
Right.
And I can't remember what his answer was. That's the part that got my ear. But there's a power of the Holy Ghost to where you don't have to be in chains. You don't have to have to sit in your cell. You can walk out of that jail cell. You are free. You know, like Johnny the Crow, you know, he was sitting on the post and he had his foot tied up. He was sitting on the post and somebody cut the string off of his post and he kept sitting there because he thought it was still tied up. And he was free. This bird can fly away at any moment, but he thought he was bound. He was thinking like he was bound. And listen to me, brother and sister, this right here is our greatest enemy. This right here will make you think that you're still bound. You're not bound. You're healed.
Right.
You're not bound. You're free.
Right.
You're not a sinner. You're saved. You're not dirty. You're clean. Amen. Mm-hmm. Do you believe the word?
Yeah.
Does the word say that you're healed, or does it say you're sick? It says I'm healed. So this right here might tell me I'm sick. This right here might tell me I'm sick. But what does the word say? It says I'm healed. And you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to speak what the word says. I am healed.
Amen.
In Jesus' name. And God will work on my behalf of what my confession is.
Right.
Get me out of my prison cell.
Amen.
If you listen to the prayer lines of what Little Brown had, it's over and over and over of a nervous condition. Nervous condition. Nervous condition. What would it be today if there could be a prayer line of discernment? Nervous condition, nervous condition, nervous condition. Mm-hmm. I hit this the other day and I'll hit it again. There's no room around the shepherd for nervous conditions.
Right.
He is the lily of the valley. He is the God that he does not want to just polish your chains. He wants you to take him at his word where he says you are free. You don't need a preacher to lay hands on you. Just take him at his word and just walk, and you watch those chains just walk or fall right off.
Right.
I'm going to show you something. Brother Brenham talked about a guy that one time went to. He asked him, he said, Brother Brenham, I've got a stubborn spirit. I thought, to me, that's a miracle right there. A person that's stubborn to admit that they're stubborn. This guy said, I have a stubborn spirit. What should I do about it? Should I do this, resist, like that? You know what Brother Graham said? He said, treat it like a rattlesnake. He said, if the more you agitate it, the madder it's going to get. He said, but if you will ignore that thing and walk away. Listen to me. There's a lot of time, these anxiety things that comes on you, don't sit there and try to play with it. Don't sit there. If you're dealing with temptations of your flesh, and the devil's trying to tempt you in your flesh of looking at something, reading something you shouldn't do, or listening to something you... Don't sit there and try to wrestle that with yourself. Walk away from it.
Right.
Ignore it and walk away.
Amen.
Whenever I've said this before, I'll say it again. Joseph, whenever he was in Potiphar's house, without a doubt, Potiphar's wife was a beautiful woman. Without a doubt, in the flesh, she would have been everything that a guy would want. And he had an opportunity, and we were saying this before service, and I believe it to be the truth. The devil is he's a precisionist at making opportunities for you to where it's perfect opportunity for you to sin and nobody know anything about it.
Right.
It's a perfect opportunity. You can do that. Think of that. Joseph was in Potiphar's house right there with this beautiful woman sitting right before him. Perfect opportunity of a flesh. Did he sit there and wrestle with her and argue with her and stand with the word and say, you know what, I'm a son of God. Don't you try tempting me. Did he try doing that? No. What did he do? He ran from her.
Right.
He got away from her. And listen to me, when you've got temptation coming at you, don't sit there and try to wrestle with that thing. Don't sit there and try to play with that. Get away from it. Because
right.
It's like a rattlesnake. Right. And when you get away from it, you'll find out when you're away from the ether, so to speak. You know what I'm talking about when I say the ether? Either is like whenever you huff like gas, don't do that. But if you huff the gas, it makes you feel high, makes you feel like stimulated.
Right.
And that's exactly the way I get in sales. When you're doing sales, that's what I tell people, hey, go get away from the ether. Because I know if I want to, I can sell you. It's a gift that God's put in my life of preaching the gospel. And I pray, no, I don't want to sell cars, but some of the Lord keeps leading me back to it. But anytime I sell them a vehicle, I will tell them, hey, go eat lunch. Get away from the ether, so to speak, and think logically. I said, because I want it to be, after you buy a vehicle for me, whether you do it or don't, I want it to be a good transaction to where whenever you see me later on, you'll be able to testify, I did you right and we did things right. And I've done it over and over and over, and the Lord has blessed it. Get away from the ether. Well, Satan brings ether. He brings the ether of Laodicea over you to where you're just overwhelmed, whatever it is, to try to get you caught up into slipping into whatever he wants you to get into, and then you're caught to a cobweb of Satan's cobweb. And when you're caught in that web, you just keep tangling yourself over and over and over again when all of that could have been resisted. I'm going to say this again. Don't sit there and try to wrestle with the devil. Get away from him.
Mm-hmm.
The temptation. I'm talking about temptations. Mm-hmm. Now, there's sometimes you'll stand up, he's a bully, and you stand eyeball to eyeball, and you say, boo, devil, and you move backwards. That's a different battle. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about temptations. Mm-hmm. When temptations are coming around you, listen, young people, whenever you're with friends, it's okay to have friends, but when those friends are leading you to another direction, listen to me. You better listen to Brother Daniel. If you start keep following them, you will get entrapped in things they're entrapped in.
Right.
And it's like a cobweb. And when you get trapped in those webs, the harder you try to get out, the more entangled you will become. It matters who we hang around with. It matters who we spend time with. Because listen to me, the power of influence. Satan is out to attack you. Satan's here to rob you. He's as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour, and he will use. He's not going to use somebody that you're not tempted by.
Right.
He's going to bring something you are tempted by.
Right.
And he's not going to use an influence of somebody you don't like. He's going to use somebody you do like. He's going to use somebody you really care about, and he will try to use them in the power of influence to pull you away from the word, pull you away from authority, pull you away from leadership. That's exactly what Satan does, because Satan's job is to try to get the sheep away from the shepherd. Because if he can get a sheep away from the shepherd, it's easier to attack him. I'm going to close with this, but I'm going to show you something. There's a dragon. There's a name of the dragon. I can't think of it right now. It's the oldest, like a dinosaur. Anybody know the name of it? Goodness gracious. Huge lizard. Komodo dragon. Thank you. That dragon will walk around, and you see the size of it, and they'll swallow whole deer. Swallow the whole thing. You ever seen how big a water buffalo is? Water buffalo's huge. You get that little bitty dragon. And that dragon will try to eat that water buffalo. And he's so big, he's so strong, he can just stomp him to death or horn him or whatever he wants to do. He's so big and he's so strong. He's the biggest of the herd. He kills men. He kills lions. He kills all kinds of things. He's a water buffalo. He's so strong. And you look at that little lizard. How's he going to kill that little water buffalo? That big water buffalo. How is this little lizard going to kill that big water buffalo? You know what he does? He'll wait. He'll keep trying. He walks real slow. He does not move very fast. Real slow. And just slithers on the ground. And he's got this slobber of poison coming out of his mouth all the time. And he'll keep waiting for his opportunity. Waiting for his opportunity. Waiting for his opportunity. And what he'll finally do is get that one little bite on the leg of that water buffalo. And he will follow and track that water buffalo, because that water buffalo's leg, that little bitty bite, turns into an infection. And that infection gets worse and worse and worse, and he's so big and strong, and that he'll get weaker and weaker and weaker and weaker, and that little lizard will just keep following. And he may eat a deer on the way, he may eat this on the way, and he'll usually find something that's dying, and he'll eat it while it's alive. And this little lizard will literally track that huge water buffalo who is so weak, so defeated, so down, he can't even hardly lift his head up. And then that little lizard will sit there and eat that thing alive. My brothers and sisters, that is Satan. Whenever you are walking with this word, you are strong as a water buffalo. And there's healing in our word. It's healing in this word. But see, that devil will try so hard to cause a little nick, cause a little hurt, cause a little pain, and there's nobody that can hurt you like people that love you, that you love the most. They're the ones that can hurt you, they can pierce you, whether it be intentional or not intentional. Right. Me and my wife have been married so long, we've hurt each other plenty of times, trying to move furniture or something, smash a finger in the door or something. Sometimes it's not intentional. But you know what? That little pain, that little bitty cut, because it's not attended by the Holy Ghost, it's not had the proper balm applied to it, right, it gets infected. And you get weaker in your experience, weaker in your experience, weaker in your experience. And before too long, that devil is just tearing at you over and over and over and over again. So I want to remind you tonight, there's healing. Amen. There's healing in this house.
Amen.
There's healing. There's life in this house. So no matter what the cut is, no matter what it is, we got something better than Neosporin. We got a healing balm.
Amen.
Amen. And as I'm closing, I keep saying I'm going to close. There's one thing that just keeps coming back to me. Sheep, you know, they'll put balm on top of those sheep's face. You know, a lot of them for different reasons. And one of those reasons is for flies. Because those flies will drive that poor little lamb crazy. All around its face, all the time, all the time. And that's exactly what the devil will do us, a child of God. He'll try to swarm your mind with thoughts and worries, thoughts and worries, thoughts and worries, thoughts and worries. He'll try to do that, brother and sister. But you know what? That shepherd knows what he needs to do. That shepherd will take oil, the balm, and put it on that sheep's face, and it will deflect the flies, to keep the flies from coming to his face. Listen to me. There is a healing balm that we can do, that we, the shepherd, can apply to your face to heal the thoughts.
Amen.
to help, Lord, help me to deflect these thoughts that keep trying to tear me down, that tell me I'm not good enough, tell me I've got anxiety, tells me I'm sick, tells me I've got that. Allow God to apply the balm to your face. Amen.
Amen.
I want his anointing.
Amen.
Let's all just stand. And I know it's a Wednesday night. It's kind of hard to shut up whenever you like what you're talking about. But it's you know, I believe that these things work. There's a healing balm that we can have, and God will heal. Amen. And God can touch us. Let's just bow our heads and watch Brother Tony to come forward. Heavenly Father, we love you. I thank you for these people, Lord. I just pray that I said something tonight, Lord, in a way that maybe they were just to receive you, Lord, in the way that you wanted to dispensate yourself tonight, Lord, in this service. And Lord, I know there are people of war, Lord, that they fight in this battle of Laodicea, Lord, and I just love them. They're your sheep, Father. And I just ask you that you bring that healing balm to our foreheads, Lord, that you would deflect the flies, Lord, that try to irritate the sheep, Lord. And Lord, that you bring healing to the body, Lord, that where Satan tries to infect a wound, Lord, of somebody. We're trying to just try to make them sick and make them feel weak. But you are a God of restoration. You are a God of life. You're a God of healing. Lord, you've got a healing pouch beside you, Lord, that you know exactly what ingredient that we have need of. We want to yield ourselves to you, Father. Lord, identify us today, Lord. Help us to see ourselves in your word. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Yeah, that's never too good. How many of y'all have wake up at night and have trouble going back to sleep? Yeah, I see all the hands. And it's because your mind is racing. Mm-hmm. Right? That's all the flies flying around you. Mm-hmm. A lot of times what I do, a lot, put a sermon on. And listen to it. Get your mind off of your thoughts. Listen to the word. Mm-hmm. Next thing you know, you're asleep.
Mm-hmm.
Gonna try it. It works. Amen. I really appreciate what Brother Daniel had to share there. You know, revelation is seasonal. Revelation is light. Light travels in cycles. And so there are times you'll have lots of revelation come in your life, and there'll be times where you feel like that it's just not, there's not much there. That's just cycles. But I will tell you one thing, if you're not in fellowship with the Lord, the revelation you receive from his word will be minimal.
Mm-hmm.
If you're, it's when we talk about walking in the lantern, it shines a certain amount of light. And you can't see anymore unless you step into what you can see. And God wants us to fellowship with him around what he has revealed to us.
Right.
What we do see and understand. What he has spoken to us. Walk in that. And as long as you'll walk in the things that he has committed to you, he will give to you more. The parables talk about that, right? And so you take an employee that's really good and faithful, which you will commit more to him. You'll give him more responsibility because he's faithful with what he has,
right,
what you've given him. And God is that way with us. Amen. And so I've been thinking lately, and I'm like, I know rapture is a revelation, and we'll find out that we've been walking in it all this time. But I was thinking the other day, we've heard pretty much everything there is. We've heard it many times over. Revelation about what God has done and the message, the opening of the seals. And God has pretty much laid all this out here, all the wisdom of this end time revelation. We've received it. We've heard it. We've heard it over and over and over. And we'll hear it more. Thank God for it. But the one thing we need more than anything else is to put into action what we've heard.
Amen.
That's where it is. And so may the Lord help every one of us. And so we really appreciate the thing that Brother Daniel had to share. He was talking, again, mentioning about, I didn't know that about the pardon, asking if Biden would pardon Trump. I can imagine what he probably would say, but putting that in the news that's out there, we need to be sensitive and spiritually minded. And God puts things out there and makes things happen for us to catch the parallels.
Yeah.
You know, and so if, here it is, I didn't know, but here's more than one circumstance where coming up in the news for all to see about pardoning. So that speaks to me, where it takes me back to the message and helps me say, you know what, we need to really be checking ourselves here when God has come to our cell and said, hey, you can go free. That we go free.
Yep.
And don't be like the crow or whatever it was that was set free but didn't think he could be. You know, Brother Bam talked about, I think it was the lily of the valley. I think Brother David mentioned that. That they would take and they make opium out of lily of the valley.
Right.
What do we have a pandemic of? Opium pandemic.
Yep.
Because all that's there available, so is our opium.
Right.
Right. Our lily of the valley. We can be addicted to that. Right.
Right.
God does these things so the spiritual mind catches it and picks up on it. Amen. So ask yourself as we get ready to sing a song, ask yourself if I'm not in fellowship with the Lord, I don't feel like his word is speaking to me like it has in the past, then ask ourselves, am I not in fellowship with him very well? Do I not read his word? Do I not pray? And you'll find out that's what it is.
Yeah.
If you're not praying and reading and spending time with the Lord, your revelation path will dry up on you.
Right.
I think God wants us to be spiritually smart enough to know that we take all these things that he has shown us in his word in this end time message, put two and two together and know how to apply it in our lives